This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وبعد. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Today, we will discuss a very pertinent time in the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After spending, which we've discussed a couple of weeks ago, 3 years being boycotted in the valley. So for 3 years, the Muslims really had no communication with the people of Quraysh or anybody who came from outside, especially the Bani Hashim had no communication, Muslims or non-Muslims. They come out after this boycott. This is the 10th year of Hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two types of support. One type of support is the physical support, which was his uncle Abu Talib. And then the other was a more moral solace, where he would go, if he had any issue, to his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and he would speak to Khadija, and she would give him that moral encouragement, that solace. Like the first revelation when it was descended, who did he go to? He said, Khashitu ala nafsi, he said, I fear for my life. He went to his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and she was there to assist him on that occasion. So she was his support at home. And outside, the physical support was his uncle Abu Talib. In the 10th year, shortly after the boycott, Abu Talib passes away. So as long as Abu Talib was alive, nobody had the courage to really attack the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly. Abu Talib was his protection. They came to Abu Talib, and they said to Abu Talib, tell your nephew to stop doing the dawah. Abu Talib didn't tell the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they came again and they said to Abu Talib, move out the way, let us deal with your nephew. And Abu Talib said, that is impossible. When that failed, then they approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tried to convince him, and that didn't work. So as long as Abu Talib was alive, nobody had the guts, the courage to approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Abu Talib passes away. A few days according to some scholars, a few weeks according to other scholars, later his wife Khadija radiallahu anha passes away, the first believer in this deen. This year in the life of the Messenger of Allah is known as Amul Huzn. Amul Huzn means the year of grief. Why? His physical support is gone. His moral, his solace, his comfort at home is gone. So imagine this. The man who has the greatest of burdens, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has now nobody to physically protect him. When he goes home, he has nobody that he can really speak to, who can really encourage him. And then this opened the doors for the mushrikeen to do whatever they wanted. So the narration mentioned, one day the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking, and a man got some dust and he threw it over the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would cook, they would cook in the open yard. They would come and they would throw dust in his food. They would use his front garden as a tip. And all sorts, Ibn Kathir mentions many, many incidences which happened after the death of Abu Talib. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying by the Kaaba, and somebody bought the placenta of the camel and they placed it over his head. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't come up from the sajda. And then his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha came and she removed it. Ibn Kathir says this happened all after the death of Abu Talib. So now the Messenger of Allah has got no protection in Mecca. And the way it worked, that if you had no protection from any leader, you had Umar ibn Khattab, you had Hamza, but none of them compared with Abu Talib. They were strong men, but they were not leaders. Abu Talib, whatever he said, went. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now thinks, how can he get protection? Who else can he speak to? So he thinks about Taif. Taif is approximately 90 kilometers from Mecca. It's in the mountains. It's actually very cool. Many of the people of Mecca had their buildings near Taif, and in summer they would go and live near Taif, the leaders of Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he leaves and he goes to Taif. How did the Messenger of Allah go? You know, we all hear the story of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he went to Damascus and he went to Jerusalem. And he went to Jerusalem, he went on a camel according to some narrations, he went on a donkey. That's it. How did the Messenger of Allah go? He walked it all the way to Taif. Ibn Ishaq says that he took nobody with him. And others say that only he took with him Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. That's it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now walks all the way to Taif. And one of the reasons that he went to Taif was because some of the people of Taif were his far family. There was also a lady from Quraysh who was married to one of the leaders of Taif. So he goes to Taif and he knocks and he calls them towards Allah, house to house, house to house. Nobody responds. Nothing. He stayed about 10 days in Taif, and he's thinking to himself, how can I now reach the people? So he decides that there were these three leaders, there were three brothers. And he goes, if I can convince the leaders, because he has had no success with the general laity, if I can convince the leaders to come towards Islam, then maybe their tribe will follow them. So there's three leaders. So he goes to the first one, and he calls them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he turns around and he says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if what you have come is with the truth, then I will go and tear the Kaaba's ghilaf, the Kaaba's cloth. Meaning, you know, the message that you come with is nothing. He said, well, if what you have come with is the truth, then I will go and tear the ghilaf of the Kaaba. So he, despondent from this individual, he goes to the next brother. The next brother says to him, could only Allah find you? Couldn't Allah find anybody else besides you? Were you the best person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could find? And the Messenger of Allah gets up from him, and then he goes to the third brother. The third brother says to him, if what you are speaking is the truth, if you are a true Nabi, if what you have brought is the truth, then if I embrace your religion, it's problems for me, because I will fight the entirety of the Arabs. But if what you have bought is falsehood, and it's nothing, then I don't want to follow a liar. So either way, it's problematic. Then the Messenger of Allah said to them, he said, listen, I have a request. If you refuse to embrace my religion, that's fine. That's up to you. But please do not tell the people of Quraysh. Why? Because then that would make him vulnerable. He came to these group of people, they refused him. He has no protection in Mecca. No leader of Mecca has now given him protection. The first thing that they do is that they send a rider to Mecca to inform them that Muhammad came to us and we did not accept his religion, his message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the vast majority of scholars, stayed about 10 days in Taif. So after a few days later, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave. Leave Taif. So the Messenger of Allah is now planning to leave, but that wasn't enough for them. Not only did they refuse his religion, not only did they insult him, they said to the urchins and the lowlifes and the youngsters, pelt him with stones. So the narrations mention that the people, they lined up like two safs while the Prophet ﷺ is now walking out of the city. And what they did, they took stones and they intentionally pelted his feet. So they would pelt, they would throw stones at his feet. So the narration mentioned that he would walk, but it would become unbearable and he wanted to protect his feet, so he would sit down. So they would grab his arms and they would pick him up again, and then they would make him walk and they would pelt his feet. Zayd radiallahu anhu tried to assist him, and then they began to pelt Zayd until he moved away. Until the narrations mention that his feet were full of blood. Entirety of his feet, his feet were sticking to his sandals. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now eventually he leaves Taif. When he leaves Taif, Allah is watching this. Allah is watching the way they are insulting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sends Jibreel down. And Jibreel says, O Messenger of Allah, Allah has seen what the people of Taif have done to you. This is the angel who controls the mountains. If you wish, we will command this angel and it will crush the people of Taif. The mountains of Taif will crush the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declined the offer. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Maybe these people that did not embrace, but from their progeny people will come and they will embrace the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this, subhanallah. You know, this isn't your local gangster, your local mafia, your local authority coming to you saying, look, do you need help? They're giving you problems, we'll sort them out. This is Allah. No comebacks. This is Allah saying to the Messenger of Allah, if you want, we will crush these people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he didn't take things personally. You know, today, nowadays, somebody can do whatever he wants regarding the deen, regarding the religion, other people, it's not an issue. But when it's us, then what do we say? Bro, it's personal now. It's personal. The Messenger of Allah didn't take things personally. And the Messenger of Allah said, maybe their progeny, they will embrace. Today, in those times, maximum there were a couple of 10,000 people in Taif. Today, there is 1.2 million people in Taif. 1.2 million people in Taif who claim Tawheed, who recite the Shahada, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't take revenge from these people. And then the Messenger of Allah, la ilaha illallah, look at this. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to introspect. You know, when you've had a difficult time, you hate on everybody besides yourself. That's normally your fault. It's their fault. It's the people of Quraysh's fault. They didn't accept my deen, so I went to Taif. These people of Taif are scums. They're wretched. They drove me out. In this moment, when he's been pelted, when he's been beaten, you know, they are the physical scars, but wallahi, then they are the internal scars. They are the emotional scars. Physical scars never compare with emotional scars. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this state, he begins to think, and he turns to Allah and he says, Allahumma inni ashku alayka dha'fa quwwati وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي وَهَوَانِي أَلَى النَّاسِ يَا أَرْحْمَ الرَّحْمِينَ. In his most difficult time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you about my own weakness. La ilaha illallah. What a lesson. Most difficult time, he complains not about the people of Taif. He says, oh Allah, maybe there's a shortcoming from me. Maybe there's an issue with me. Allah, maybe I haven't been able to do justice to my parents. Maybe it's not my parents' fault. Maybe it's a bit of my fault as well. Maybe it's not just my children's fault. Maybe it might be my fault. Maybe it might not be my in-laws' fault all the way. Maybe it's got a portion with me as well. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you about my own weakness. This was the man who was the greatest da'i. No da'i compared with him. No person in history was better in anything than the Messenger of Allah. He was best. He was par excellence above everybody else. But in his most difficult time, the Messenger of Allah said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati wa qilla tahilati. And the lack of my ingenuity. La ilaha illallah. Lack of my ingenuity. 1400 years later, sitting in the UK, we still follow this man's deen. And he's saying, oh Allah, no, there's maybe a lack of my ingenuity. Maybe I ain't good enough. وَحَوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And my insignificance in the eyes of other people. La ilaha illallah. Maybe I haven't done enough to get close enough to people. Maybe the issue is with me. And then he goes on and he says something amazing. He said, oh Allah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. As long as you are happy with me. As long as you are happy with me, oh Allah, it doesn't matter. We live in an era of social media where everybody likes their likes. Everybody judges themselves, their fame, on how many followers they have and how many likes they have. Wallahi, you have a billion likes and you have one dislike from Allah. It's not worth it. You're a failure. You're unsuccessful. And you have that one like from Allah. Everything else becomes insignificant, but that you will only realize on the Day of Judgment. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's walking and there's two people from Makkah. These are the arch enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Utba and Shaybah. Their father was Rabi. They are the arch enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the ones who actually went to Abu Talib and said to Abu Talib, move out the way, let's give us permission to kill him. Today they see their own man from Quraysh and they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this. Even their hearts begin to melt. And they tell one of their slaves, Adas, say, go and take him some grapes. So he brings the Messenger of Allah some grapes, and the Messenger of Allah, before he eats, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And Adas is a Christian. And he says to him, you read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? He said, yes. He said, my people read this as well. He said, where are you from? He tells him. He said, oh, you're from the place of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, yes. He said, how did you know that? He said, because me and Yunus are both Nabis. We are brothers. So this man, he kisses the hand and the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he embraces Islam. Utba and Shaybah are watching this. And they say to him, oh, Adas, you're leaving the religion of your forefathers. That religion is far better than his religion. He said, no, what this man just told me, only a Nabi could tell me that. And this is the amazing thing. Look, the Messenger of Allah came to the people of Taif to give them dawah. He got zero response from the people of Taif. He got insulted, beaten. And then he's on his way out and he happens to bump into this man who wasn't on his radar, and he gives him dawah, and this man embraces Islam, and none of them embrace Islam, because Allah is the one who guides, and nobody other than Allah guides. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. As Allah says, O Messenger of Allah, you cannot guide who you wish. Allah guides whoever He wishes. And this is an amazing thing. Why? Because in the deen of Allah, remember this. In the deen of Allah, results are not in your hands. The results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called his people for how long? 950 years. إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. He says 950 years, not from 9 to 5. إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I gave them dawah morning, afternoon, evening, in the depth of the night. Morning, evening, nighttime. He says, I gave them dawah. But more dawah I gave them, more they ran away. You know why? Because you cannot give dawah to somebody who's dead, whose heart is dead. You cannot give them dawah, their heart is dead. The Messenger of Allah said, on the day of judgment, a Nabi will come. A Nabi will come. And he will have three people behind him. All his life he spent calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many guys? Three people. Some will have two people. Somebody will have one person. Expended your entire life calling people towards Allah, and at the end you get one person. The Messenger of Allah said, some Nabis will come, they will have zero behind them. Zero behind them. Listen, brothers, what does the message of Ta'if tell you and I? What does it tell us? It tells us that our Nabi cared, that our Nabi went through hardships, that if you are a true ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this story of Ta'if is speaking to you and I, that for the deen of Allah, you need to make a sacrifice. If you are on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, you need to make a sacrifice. You need to put other things aside. You know, one of the reasons why the people of Ta'if didn't embrace, because they had an idol called Lat, and the people in summer would come, they would come to Ta'if to visit Lat. They knew financially they would lose out if they embraced this religion. Many of us have the people of Ta'if mentality. We don't want to become religious because, oh, it might stop me from doing this. We don't want to expend for the sake of the deen. We talk about deen. We all talk about deen, but we don't want to expend for the sake of deen. You know why? Because financially we might lose out. Oh no, namaz time, yeah, Allah ghafoor raheem. I'll pray later. I might lose a bit of time here. I might lose a few pounds here and there. That is exactly the Muslim form of the mentality of the people of Ta'if. That is exactly what it is. The story of Ta'if is telling you and I that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through hardship, he persevered so the deen could reach us today. And the least that we can take, and the least that we can do in response, because good people appreciate other good people's action, that we can follow the deen of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for which he expended himself. And I don't want to use the word broke, but he worked tirelessly. He took stones, hunger. Imagine, he had to now walk another 90 kilometers with those bruised feet. You know, the ulama say something really interesting. They said the route he took wasn't the normal route when he went back. He took a route which was the Wadi of Tha'lab. And Wadi of Tha'lab actually goes to Iraq, it goes to Najd, it doesn't go to Makkah. They say, you know why? Because the impact of the day of Ta'if had so much on him that he wasn't even thinking which way he was going. He wasn't thinking. He was so upset. You know how upset he was? Aisha radiallahu anha once said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me in your life, what was the most difficult time? Was it on Uhud where 70 Sahaba were passed away? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. He said, Aisha, the most difficult time on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't Khandaq when you had 11,000 men, wasn't Uhud, wasn't the day that his daughter was struck with a spear, wasn't the day when he saw the Sahaba being persecuted. He said, the most difficult time in my life was Taif. When the people drove me out and they pelted me, you know why? Because these were the physical, what we speak about is the physical scars, the stones. But then there were the scars here on the heart. Those scars nobody can interpretate. This was Aam al-Huzn in the life of the Messenger of Allah. This was the year of grief in his life. He had no protection. He had nobody really. The great supports, the two supports in his life were no longer there. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha, it was that day on Ta'if. When they did to me what they did. And I want us to learn a lesson from this. You know when that person comes to us, and they may be crying, and we look at why they're crying or they're upset. We think, is that all that's making you upset? Is that all that's making you cry? Sometimes there's a huge history behind that. That was the straw which broke the camel's back. But there's 15 years of abuse behind that. There's 15 years of torture behind that. But what me and you see, it's just that one incident, and we come to conclusions based on that one incident. You know, when we see a sister, now she's got mental health issues, and we look at her, but those 15 years that she spent with a tyrant of a husband, or those abusive in-laws, and this is the consequence. What you see on the occasion of Ta'if wasn't the worst thing which happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Physically, he was far greater injured in the Battle of Uhud. But this was the occasion where everything came together. All the things which hurt the Messenger of Allah, the demise of his uncle, the demise of his wife, and now what they did to him, no protection. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow his precepts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we leave this dunya, that we leave the dunya with la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that when we are resurrected on the day of judgment, we are resurrected with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are given the Hawdha Kawthar from his blessed hands, and that when we go into Jannah, that we are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, man is with that person that he loves. If you love the Messenger of Allah in this dunya, you follow the way of the Messenger of Allah in this dunya, you are guaranteed to be with the Messenger of Allah in the akhirah. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.